Welcome to the Journal Hijabi podcast. I'm your host, Sirin, and here we're all about elevating the voices of hijabi women in mainstream media through authentic storytelling. Without further ado, let's begin the episode.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It is kind of difficult to like depict this one image of how hijab should be. Like, I understand there's guidelines. I understand we're supposed to do certain, you know, it's kind of like a whole lifestyle hijab.
My first guest is my sister. She happens to be my sister. What's the craziest thing that someone asked you about the hijab or told you? Like, someone just, you know, like, just came up to you, told you, you heard someone whisper or you saw it online. Like, what's the, do you have, like, that crazy story that everyone has?
I'm fortunate enough to say, alhamdulillah, I don't have, like, some crazy story from some person who treated me a certain way. Alhamdulillah, but, of course, I mean, I feel like I've been in situations and positions in my life, so many of those, where I have been the only hijabi in the room, sometimes the only hijabi in the building, you know, at my previous job, the only hijabi in the plant, you know.
In the plant,
manufacturing plant, of, like, what, 1,000 people? So... And it's something that you go to every single day, right? It has nothing, it's not like university where I'm you know, surrounded by hijabis and Muslim women and this and that. It's just, it's something that I go to on a day-to-day basis, and I constantly am the only woman who wears a hijab and the only Muslim. So I feel like that in and of itself is kind of, what's the word? It's kind of...
crazy.
It's not crazy, it's just a little, I feel like us humans have this natural, innate, instinctive, just nature to be, you know, feeling like we're included and a part of something. And so that in and of itself, being the only hijabi or only Muslim in the building or in a large crowd of people, in and of itself is kind of, just makes you, like, nervous and makes you think, like, hey,
like,
what are people...
Like the odd one out.
The odd one out, and nobody likes to feel like that. And, you know, what are people thinking of me? And what I... And it's a very clear... Hijab is one of those things where you're a very clear outcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're a very clear outcast.
That's a good one.
Yeah, like, you know, you can... I understand that you can be Muslim, but if you're a Muslim male or if you're a Muslim woman who doesn't wear the hijab, you can pass by as just another, you know, white person or Hispanic or whatever.
Yeah, like, our religion, we wear it outward, you know? So, like, you know. That's what, like, it can be, like, a good thing, and it can, like, mostly be, like, a bad thing, because it's, like, before you even like having to explain yourself or anything, people already, when they see you, they have your opinions and stories and ideas about you mm-hmm. without you even opening your mouth, because you just have it on,
right?
You know, and like what you said about like feeling the odd, like the odd one out, or like you're the only one in the building or in the room, like I understand that it's a natural instinct and like everyone goes through it at some point, and I did too. But now I'm shifting it into like a perspective of seeing it as like being unique and different and powerful. And that's the only way that I see it now. Like when you brought it up, I was like, oh, I remember when like I used to think like that. But now when I go into my classes in college and like I walk in, like, yeah, of course I will still feel that tension and I always will. But I literally get like so excited and I feel so empowered, because I'm like, I walk in the room and I'm like, oh my God, like, yes, thank God I'm the only hijabi, because like I'm over here representing, it's me. It's just a powerful feeling, because like you can like sit there and like
represent,
literally like just represent, like be that one person there. They know we exist, you mm-hmm. know, like basically represent for it. And like, I don't feel like the odd one out anymore. I walk in, I had this one class where...
Are you the odd one in?
The odd one out. And like there was this class and like the audit, it was like in a big auditorium, it's like huge, and I think I was the only like hijabi, and I always sit in front, like I'm always in front, so like everyone notices me and like everyone sees like me as the hijab, so like I'm literally just representing everywhere, and like I'm proud to like say that and do that, and it does not make me feel uncomfortable or make me feel like I'm left out.
For the majority of my life, I pretty much kind of accepted the struggle that things would be hard and I would be discriminated against and I'm facing racism. And I kind of, in this moment, have come to realize like, oh my gosh, no, I don't have to accept it. I can stand with these millions of other people who are standing up and say, I want to change it and I want something to be different.
So in the midst of everything going on, whether that be the pandemic, the fight for racial justice, I would love to hear from you and share with our listeners, how do you shift your mindset in the midst of chaos to have a deeper connection with Allah?
Yeah, wow, that's a such a powerful question and such an important question. Because a lot of times with all the things going on, it's easy to focus on, okay, well, what am I supposed to do, or how can I serve, or how can I help? Because it seems like those are the more pressing things to kind of spring into action, because there's so much stuff going on. But really, the more powerful place to start is with turning inward and looking at yourself, your beliefs, your thoughts, your own kind of perspective and attitude, which all kind of is the words that make up your mindset, towards how you're viewing life in general and how you're viewing Allah and how you're viewing yourself. So what I would say is, with everything that's going mm-hmm. on, to think about, what do you feel like is bothering you? What do you feel like is wrong, right? Okay, you know, it's not right that we don't have a national plan, you know, in the U.S. to kind of really address COVID. It's not right that, you know, in 2020, Black people are still being, you know, so unjustly mm-hmm. and severely mistreated and police brutality and being killed. Okay, now, so we're thinking about those things. And then we think about, well, how could things be different? How would I want the world to look? How, you know, as a Black person, how would I want to be treated? And kind of consider the perspective of, what's the ideal for me? And then think about, do I think that's even possible? Do I believe that that can happen? Do I believe that Allah would support me to achieving that? Especially as I think about racial injustice, for the majority of my life, I pretty much kind of accepted the struggle that things would be hard and I would be discriminated against and I'm facing racism. And I kind of, in this moment, have come to realize like, oh my gosh, no, I don't have to accept it. I can stand with these millions of other people who are standing up and say, I want to change it and I want something to be different. And although I may feel that I have a small, you know, I'm only one out of many, that it seems like I'm a small part to play, but every small voice together adds up to like a great surge. And so in thinking of my part, my role, what, how I want the world to look, and now then considering, okay, do I believe that I've got Allah's support to do this? Because when we start from that place of like, do I have Allah's support to create the life I want to live in, the life I want to have, and the world I want to see, then we begin to shift. Because if we start from a place of like, oh, just what can I do? What can I do? We will quickly realize that, you know, we're super limited. Oh my gosh, you know, I have all these other obligations of my work, of school, of my family. I'm tired, I have to rest, I have to sleep. And so we feel limited by our own personal human capacity. But when we start from a place of like, this is what I want to see, and will Allah support me, then we kind of understand that anything that we do can be amplified by Allah. And we stay in that state of appreciation for even the small actions that we do.
I know how hard it is. And like when I get messages from girls saying, I want to put on the hijab and I love your style, like it just makes me like, it literally, like my heart bursts from how happy I am. Cause it's just like, I literally know what it was like.
I think it also goes back to maybe like the fear of like actually taking that step to put it on and go through with it. And in your mind, like you can just be like, okay, yeah, I'm going to be hijabi one day when this, but like if this happens or when I'm this age, I guess we're just like, we were afraid of it. And like, that's a natural feeling because we don't know how it would be until, you know, we actually put it on. You mentioned after putting it on, you were happy that you made the decision, but it was hard, which is a normal thing. I think, you know, all hijabis, especially at the beginning, it's like hard for them. It's something that we weren't used to. So how did you overcome the difficulties that came in the beginning of wearing the hijab? And how did you find your own style?
So like overcoming the difficulties, I think, was for me personally, finding the right group of people to surround myself with, people that supported my decision and motivated me to keep it on, and, you know, gave me supporting words and encouraging words, things like that. Again, going back to like looking into the reasons I'm wearing it and, you know, just holding on to the reasons that, on to the right reasons, that initially inspired me, knowing that I put it on for Allah, not for people. So yeah, that's overcoming like the difficulties, I think, for me, was really remembering the reasons I had put it on, and also making sure that I was around people who encouraged it.
How did you find your own style? You said that because it was like hard at the beginning, what kind of made it easy and let you overcome that was finding your own style that matched you and that fit you. So how do you think you found that for you?
I kept looking up hijab tutorials until one just looked right to me, because I was like, it was like style after style that I was just not happy with. And I was like, and it's still like, it still alternates now. Like, I don't have one specific like way I wear it. You know, it goes back and forth all the time. But in the beginning, it was looking up all these tutorials. And that's a reason that I decided to like start doing that as well, because like, I know how hard it is. And like, when I get messages from girls saying, I want to put on the hijab and I love your style, like, it just makes me like, it literally, like my heart bursts from how happy I am. Cause it's just like, I literally know what it was like. And seeing other girls doing that is what like motivated me and inspired me and like, you know, kept like, helped me keep it on or helped me find that right style that I felt like, you know, happy and comfortable and confident in.
I can say personally that I'm still finding my style too, because it does change. And it also really goes with like finding the style that fits your face shape.
Yes.
How do you think wearing the hijab empowers you and inspires you to keep it on and to step outside, and regardless of what other people think or the stares that you might get, which we all do, and it's honestly become a norm now. So like, how do you stick with it? How do you still wear the hijab and look in the mirror and wear it and just say, regardless of anything that's happening outside of that, how does wearing your hijab empower you?
Wearing my hijab empowers me because there's so much beauty and grace in hijab and the meaning behind it that a lot of people don't really understand or choose not to understand. Like walking into a room, like most of the time I'm the only hijabi there.
Yeah.
So yeah. It is difficult, but there's also like I feel like really unique. Like it brings this uniqueness that I wouldn't necessarily feel if I didn't have it on, you know? Like it makes me different. And at first I saw it as like a bad thing, as like, oh my God, they're looking at me.
Yeah, because definitely.
I'm the odd one out. And I guess I trained my mind to see it as a positive thing. Like, yeah, I'm the odd one out, but like that makes me different. That makes me unique. And I just stopped caring what people think, whether they're like Muslim or not.
I will say that when it comes to the discrimination that Muslim women potentially face because of their hijab, I would remind women that we're never the problem when it comes to those situations. It's always those that are discriminating against us. And to always remember that you aren't the problem. It's those who are intolerant of people's differences.
Just the other day, I actually saw an interview on Good Morning America where there was a hijabi discussing how the hijab was banned from her workplace. And also another hijabi was discussing how she was, I believe, fired for praying during her lunch breaks. And I know that may seem as discrimination against her religion, but also I've never really heard that happen to a Muslim guy. So I'm questioning that it most likely had to do with her hijab. And so seeing that discrimination against hijabis in the workplace is well and alive, do you, as a future lawyer in 5 to 10 years, see yourself facing this kind of discrimination? And how would you say we, hijabis, could overcome this issue and maintain fierceness and boldness and resilience through these times?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And that's oftentimes something I think about when I'm stepping into not only a career field where there aren't many hijabi lawyers, but it's also a male-dominated career field. So those are two kind of dynamics that I often think about. But since I'm specifically going into human rights law and international human rights law, I think being a hijabi or not, I kind of have to get some really thick skin and be able to act quickly in those situations. And I think the best advice I would give someone is to kind of purify your intentions on why you're wearing the hijab and your connection to it. Because, of course, the first reason that we put it on is for God. So in defense of the hijab, we're defending our religion and our right to practice our religion. So it's important that we as hijabis are confident in the reasons why we wear hijab. When someone asks us or tries to discriminate against us, we have to know our rights. And that goes for so many marginalized groups in America. That's kind of the reality that we live in, and constantly having to know our rights and knowing how to enforce our rights onto those who try to restrict them.
Absolutely. I think that's such an important topic today for especially hijabis to understand the human right, the basic human rights that they have. And so on the topic of hijab bans, I want to understand why European countries are so pressed with women wearing the hijab. You know, I mean, there are people everywhere bothered by the hijab, but specifically Europe is just absolutely violating hijabi women's human rights. The niqab ban in France and then the hijab ban in universities in Belgium. I truly admire the strength and resilience hijabi women have in countries that consistently violate their human rights. And having to choose between getting an education and practicing your religion freely shouldn't be something that women have to think about. So I want to ask you, what are your thoughts on hijab bans and how they violate basic human rights? And what can we do to eliminate that?
I think
it's really interesting now during this global pandemic that we have found ourselves in, how ironic the hijab and niqab bans have been in Europe, now that everyone across the globe has their face covered. I read an article in NPR recently about how France has gone from niqabs to N95s, and I thought that was just a really ironic way of putting it, because France has been one of the countries who has been really adamant about banning hijabs for safety reasons, or what they, you know, what they call safety reasons, that there shouldn't be, or banning niqab, sorry, because people shouldn't have their face covered because it's a safety concern to the public and everyone needs to be able to see your face because it establishes equality between two people who are talking to each other. But now everyone's face is covered. So now we know that it actually had nothing to do with safety because the world's functioning completely fine with everyone wearing these masks. And it was always about Islamophobia and wanting to just restrict Muslim women from being able to rightfully protect, rightfully practice their religions. And as far as what we can do about it, I think social media and electing people to government positions who fight for our rights is really important. I think on an individual scale, we can continue to press these governments and press our elected officials to raise their voices against these laws because it's been effective. Representative Ilhan Omar, she's the one who overturned the ban in Congress for anyone to wear a headpiece on Capitol Hill, and she's effectively done that. So it just takes putting bold people into positions of power that we are comfortable with representing the Muslim community.
Your nonprofit Cultural Communications was created to amplify the voices of marginalized communities. And you've specifically mentioned wanting to bring more inclusivity within spaces that are predominantly Muslim and Arab saturated. So can you talk about why this topic is so important to you and how are you able to make it happen?
So yeah, like I was saying, growing up, I grew up in a smaller town and I did grow up with a lot of Muslims. I was mostly around Muslims, but just because when I went to college, most of my friends went out of the area and I went to a predominantly very small liberal arts college that was mostly Caucasian. And so a lot of times when I sought community from online. So I would seek community like on Instagram, on Facebook, to just to get like, just to be closer to my religion, to be closer to people that might relate to some of my personal struggles. And I saw like, in bigger towns where that community is already there, that a lot of people don't necessarily want you to enter their spaces or might not be as welcoming as somebody that's like me. Like, even when I go to bigger cities and I see hijabis at the mall or something, like being from a smaller town, we get really excited to see people like us, but those people never get as excited as we do when we see them. So it just gets a little bit interesting. So I think my piece of advice for people, I think if people reach out to you that's from a smaller city, that they're really looking for community. Like, it's hard to develop community when you're in a small town and don't have very many people like you. So I would just say welcome people with open hearts, because it may not seem like they need it, but they really do.
Have either of you guys ever come across a hijabi, whether that be a friend, relative, or family member, being discriminated against or looked at in an unpleasant way? And have situations like those ever affected you, either because of how it made you feel or because of how someone else reacted to it? If so, why? And if not, why?
The thing is, like, a full-out racist, you know, aggressive situation has never happened in front of me, and I just feel like it's sad because it's as if like those people who would do anything and who are thinking it inside know when not to say anything, because like, oh, they're with people right now, you know, they get much less confident and whatnot. But I mean, we see so many stories and it's kind of scary, obviously. Like, you know, you have like when my mom like is wearing hijab, and it's just like, it is anxious, like I am anxious, mm-hmm. like, you know, it's like tough that, because we're not gonna be there, you know, like it's just, it is what yeah. it is, like we gotta live our lives, everyone's doing things, going to work, this and that, and it's a sad reality that that exists. But I think having like conversations like this where, you know, we bring it to light more, because I feel mm-hmm. like it's not as understood, you know, like
oh, yeah,
that this is something that is like an everyday thing. And we live in Texas, I know, like it's just, you turn the wrong corner and it's just, you turn mm-hmm. to the wrong place, right? And I feel like having conversations like this should be so much more, you know, more prevalent, because I feel like if you were to just ask a regular man just like what it's like to wear it and whatnot, you know, I'd be like, oh, it's hard, you know, I'm sure it sucks, oh, I'm in the summer, I bet it's hot, or like something like that. But the I was reading an article about it, someone who's a hijabi as a journalist was saying just like, some days it really just feels like a public service announcement, like your life is a public oh service God. announcement, like yeah. every day, like wherever you go, you're just, you have to wear you're like your whole identity on your sleeve. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that is a struggle that I won't know what it's like. And to know that, like, there are just so many dangers and like opportunities for bad things to happen. Like, we see it all the time, you know, on social media, and like you see like people's scars being pulled off, and and like the criticism that like athletes get. I saw like Ibtihaj Muhammad, the Olympian. Mm-hmm. She was like talking about like what it's like wearing a hijab during sports and like during the Olympics, and how she faced a lot of like criticism and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's become a reality. Like it is just, it is what it is. And I thought that was really cool. Like on your last episode, like Zahra said, like you don't have to accept that, right? Like yeah. it's just like, it's discrimination. And like we've grown as a society enough where like it's like we should say something, we have mm-hmm. to say something, we got to like start stepping our ground. And if we have more conversations like this, we can start slowly becoming more of a community. I feel like there's such a division of like understanding what it's like between men and women, of like especially like our age, of like hijab and just like the struggles of, you know, like yeah. having to, you know, constantly be out in the public, just all out there,
just going around like just public places with my, either with my sister or my mom. Like I feel like there's always going to be people staring. Like he said, it's like hijab is kind of like a target on your head in a way, oh, if that yeah. makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To like race people, like it will always catch someone's eye. Like people will always be staring and stuff. Yes. And I feel like because of that, it's like I always have to be like prepared, or like just aware yeah. at all time, you know what I mean? Because I feel like at any time something might go down, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And like just like what Saim said, how we should like talk about it more and have people be more aware about it, because like I feel like more people are aware about like what's going on, and like more aware about hijabis and stuff, hijab safety, yeah. it'll create more of like a safe environment, inshallah, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
So because like I shouldn't have like this much anxiety about my friends or my mom going out like by herself with a hijab on. Like
yeah,
like it shouldn't be like that. I feel like I should be comfortable with just like my mom should be able to go out like anyone else. I mean, not only the hijab, like just as a girl in general. I feel mm-hmm. like also like I should be comfortable with my mom or my sister or my friends just to be able to go out and not worry about a racist or some weirdo doing something, you know what I mean?
The least that we can do is definitely just call it out when we see it. We have to get educated first. That's like my whole, like every question I could answer the same thing. Like, you know, it's like very, it's so applicable.
You are who you surround yourself with. And so if you're surrounded by people who always compare themselves to others, then you're going to end up doing the same, you know? So be proud of your hijab. It's yours. Previously, I asked you before this episode about how you would describe your relationship with your hijab. And you said something really interesting that I loved. You described mm-hmm. it as tough love. And so
Can you explain more about what that is and how you view tough love when describing your relationship with your hijab?
So I chose to describe my relationship with hijab as tough love because I feel like as much as I'll tell you I love it and as much as I know myself that I love it, it's still going to be tough. And like I've mentioned before, this journey, this experience, this commitment, it's always going to feel hard. It's always going to feel like a struggle. So no matter how much advice I try to take in with it or build my confidence and grow that passion and love for it, it's going to be tough. Like, that's an exception. At the end of the day, it does get easier, but it will never be easy or the smooth, like, line. But when people do ask me, it does get easier because you grow that confidence and you grow the love for it. But it's a struggle that we'll all go through in our own ways. And I find that very special. So I feel like the perfect way to label this, but keep it very simple, was just having tough love for it. Kind of like having tough love for a sibling.
Thank you for tuning in and spending this time listening to this episode. If you could take 1 second to support this podcast by sharing it and leaving an honest review, it would mean so much to me and help us to reach many different audiences to spread our stories about the hijab. Until next time, never forget the power of being a hijabi.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We're all looking to make more sustainable choices. But making your own shoes out of natural materials could pose a few challenges. The twigs and leaves in your backyard aren't exactly comfortable. And while mud does perfectly contour the feet, it doesn't score high on the durability front. But thanks to Allbirds, you can skip all the backyard experimentation. At the Allbirds Innovation Lab, they're doing all the sciencey stuff, like research and testing to create shoes from natural, sustainable materials. And their innovative processes mean using less of the bad stuff and more of the good while making shoes unlike any other. Like the Plant Pacer, made with 100% plastic-free plant leather. The Tree Dasher, a running shoe made from eucalyptus tree fiber. And from sugarcane, they've made the Superlight, their lightest shoe ever by weight and carbon footprint. It's not rocket science, it's shoe science. Allbirds is making shoes better than natural. They're supernatural. Find your perfect pair at allbirds.com today. That's allbirds.com.
Thanks for reaching the end of the episode. We hope you learned something new about the women who wear the hijab. You can watch the recorded video of this episode on YouTube at Journal Hijabi. And be sure to follow our Instagram at Journal Hijabi to stay updated on all things hijabi and help spread our stories. Until next time, never forget the power of being a hijabi.